episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
What's going on? We give you podcasts every Wednesday and Sunday because we're nice. And thank you for listening, as always, on WGR550.com under the on-demand audio tab. We thank you, as always. And Frank, dude, Winnipeg is stupid dangerous, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh my God, seriously.
We're
borrowing someone else's time right now, and we need to make sure that he gets on out of here. And
Louis is back.
Louis is back.
What's up, boys?
Louis DiBiase is here to talk some hoops with us as the NBA final, the conference finals, excuse me, for the NBA are about to get started. Monday, right?
Today, actually.
Today.
3:30, Cavs-Celtics.
Yep.
Ah, yes. And then Monday night is the Western Conference Finals.
Yes, sir. That's which is basically right now essentially the NBA Finals.
Yes. All right, then let's talk about this, because, I mean, dude.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, it's very strange how dangerous both Houston and Golden State are, and then how inferior looking now, thanks to injuries for Boston, the Eastern Conference looks.
Essentially, when you look at the East and you look at the West, so the Celtics, what is their strength? It's coaching. It's Brad Stevens making guys like Terry Rozier, you know, Marcus Smart. You know, they don't have Kyrie Irving. They don't have Gordon Hayward, and they're still dominating teams like the 76ers. So their strength is coaching. And then the Cavaliers, what is it? It's LeBron James. It's all about the star power. So they both rely heavily on one factor of their team. You go over to the Western Conference side, Rockets, Warriors, and it's everything. Both teams have top 15 players. You know, Golden State has four of them, essentially, with Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. And then, you know, with Houston, you got James Harden and Chris Paul. Not to mention, both teams have elite NBA coaches with Steve Kerr and Mike D'Antoni. You know, you look, it's like, yeah, Cleveland, they got to rely on LeBron to beat Boston, and Boston, it's all they got to rely on Brad Stevens. In the West, it's just, we have everything, and we're, you know, just going to out everything you know, out coach you, out star power, you know, 3-point shooting, Clint Capella down low with Houston. I don't see how either Cleveland or Boston can compete seriously with, you know, it doesn't matter who wins between the Rockets and Warriors. That's why right now I consider the Western Conference Finals the NBA Finals.
That's pretty much right on. Whoever comes out of that is pretty much a lock to win the championship.
I would say so. And, you know, look, if LeBron James was able to pull off this year, if he won a finals this year, you know, we've heard for probably the past 2 weeks the anticipation building up. Mm-hmm. LeBron James versus Michael Jordan, the conversation's back. Every single media outlet that has to say anything about it, the NBA, is talking about it. And it'll put a wrap on it if LeBron James was able to win with this team against the likes of Golden State or Houston, because it just seems impossible right now with how the Rockets and the Warriors are playing. You look at the Pelicans and you look at the Jazz, two teams that they played in the second round of the Western Conference Finals, and both you were saying, wow, New Orleans, extremely hot. You know, the way Anthony Davis is feeding off Rondo and Drew Holiday, you know, this team without Boogie Cousins looks like they could do some damage. I wouldn't want to play this team right now, right? That's what I said when I was on Leftovers podcast last time with you, Frank.
You did say that.
You don't want to play the Pelicans right now. And the Jazz, they take down the Thunder in the first round, who's a team that, you know, in their own right, have two All-Stars in Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and a former All-Star in Carmelo Anthony. So you're like, the Jazz are a dangerous team, too. They have great coaching out West, and they have a rookie in Donovan Mitchell who's slowly taken over the league. And they both lose in five games. You know, I said no one wants to play the Pelicans, but it doesn't matter. When you're the Rockets or Warriors, it doesn't matter who you have at this point. It almost seems impossible to take down these two teams. So Monday is really the day I'm looking forward to most between, you know, Houston.
Pretty much
and any
time those two teams are playing is when it's exciting.
It makes you think about the NBA playoff format. You know, you kind of almost wish this was the NBA Finals. And this has been brought up in the past where the NBA could consider removing the Eastern Conference, Western Conference playoff format, just having the best of 16 teams go at it. And I'd love it, because then you'd get these type of matchups, you know, higher up in the rounds. It's a shame. It's kind of like in the NHL. You don't want to see Washington and Pittsburgh play in the second round. Same with the NBA.
Yeah, last couple of years.
You want to see these two teams battling for a title.
Last couple of years, Washington, Pittsburgh, everyone's saying that has to be the East final. Even this year, we just had Winnipeg and Nashville. Mm-hmm. Those are the top two teams in the West, and that was the second-round matchup.
Mm-hmm. And I get it if it was the NHL.
Nashville-Winnipeg, for example, that series to seven games, and The way that Winnipeg
even with the way it ended, that was still an exciting series. It's still a fast, fun series, and that's one that you want with the right to go to the final.
Yeah,
on the line.
And there's more turnaround in hockey, right? So if we were talking playoff format change, it would be more geared towards the NBA, because in the NHL, a team like Vegas, who's an expansion team, or Winnipeg, or even Colorado in the first round this year in the West, those are all teams that, one didn't exist last year, but the other two in Winnipeg and Colorado were at the bottom of the league, for the past few years. So there's quick turnaround in hockey. Whereas in the NBA, why I want just no conferences in the playoffs is because it takes a long time. Once teams are established in the NBA, they're established for a long time. Mm-hmm. There's reigns of dominance in the NBA throughout its history. You look at the 80s Lakers and Celtics, right?
Yep.
With Magic and Bird. And then in the 90s, it was all Chicago until Michael Jordan went when he retired. Then it was all Houston for 2 years, right? Then back to Michael Jordan. Then it was all Showtime Lakers in the early 2000s. Now it's the LeBron era. So there's going to be the sustained dominance, whereas the majority of the teams in the NBA are kind of rebuilding for 10 years down the road. And that's why, to me, to max out the best matchups, most of the good teams are going to stay good for a while. You got to, change this up, because a Cavs-Celtics series really should be a second-round matchup, whereas you want Warriors-Rockets to be the biggest stage.
Yes.
I can get by that, yeah.
I will say this, though.
What's that?
One way that it interjects and makes it worth it for me is honestly LeBron James. If LeBron can get his team to the NBA Finals for what, the ninth straight year?
It'll be eighth straight year,
then give me the star power against whoever the West brings me, because that's just awesome.
No, I'm with you, but the thing is, though, is the other two teams have more star power.
Yeah.
Houston has Harden and Chris Paul, the MVP and a perennial, one of the best point guards of the past decade and a half in Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden State's got four of them. That's so Cleveland's got LeBron, but outside of that, they got
Kevin Love,
and then what? You're at George Hill. When you get after two players, you get to the George Hills of the world and Kyle Korvers. So it's going to be LeBron, he's going to be outmatched. And you saw last year he had Kyrie Irving last year.
And they were still outmatched.
And they lost in five to Golden State. This year, he doesn't even have Kyrie, so
it would still be fun for me to go ahead and be able to talk about how the hell did Cleveland end up in the NBA Finals, because especially what happened with that team at the trade deadline.
Mm.
They tore it apart. Which,
by the way, that helped in the regular season, because Rodney Hood and Clarkson and Larry Nance, they played good in the regular season.
They're not showing up right now.
Don't you kind of agree that you want Dwayne Wade on this stage in the playoffs, that experience? Don't you want... To me, Derrick Rose, by the way, in that first-round series against Houston, coming off the bench for Minnesota and Tom Thibodeau, he was averaging like 10 points off the bench. In that win Minnesota had in Minnesota, he had 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Rose, to me, is an upgrade right now in the playoffs over Jordan Clarkson. I know Isaiah Thomas was kind of a poisonous factor in the locker room with him and Kevin Love, but even IT, when he went to the Lakers playing with Lonzo Ball, he was averaging, 20 points a game playing off the ball. I almost would rather have that core you had, because now you look at it, who is Cleveland using? They're not using Hood. Hood refused to go into the game when they were blowing Toronto up.
Nice job. Way to go ahead and boost your free agency value.
He didn't want to be the reserve that played during a blowout. So Rodney Hood's not being used. Clarkson's coming off the bench. What the starting five they've been using is all the NBA Finals vets. Korver, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, and Kevin Love with LeBron. So I would almost have rather had the early regular season core right now from Cleveland.
Yeah.
It almost feels like this is a similar Cavs team to right before LeBron left.
The Antoine Jameson Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yes.
Yes.
The one that made the finals. San Antonio was like, no.
Yeah.
San Antonio with three all-stars.
Yeah. They're like, no, you're adorable.
Ha.
I agree.
Good one.
But you guys, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, though. He was there, too.
Oh, God.
It's a great team. No, you're right, though. It's very similar. God.
What a name drop.
Yeah.
Cavs retired his number. He's a Cavs legend.
He is a Cavs legend, but it's like what a name drop for the day, though.
When he actually signed in Miami with LeBron, that was the underrated signing that year. The big three went to Miami that year, but Zydrudas also went to the Heat. They gave him a round of applause. But, with Cleveland, you look at it, the playoff performance this year from LeBron has been legendary, but it's only can go to me one more round. He can't compete with Golden State or Houston when he gets in the finals, because he couldn't even do it last year. And both teams in Houston and Golden State are more advanced than they were last year and playing better basketball. So, you know, people are already talking about it for the summer. People are moving ahead to the summer. The Sixers are prepared to do whatever it takes to sign LeBron. People are more talking about what he's going to do next than really what he's going to do for the remainder of the playoffs.
It still would just help his legacy so much if he got past Boston, a team that's playing like a cohesive team and has probably the best coach in the NBA right now in Brad Stevens.
Agreed.
I mean, Stevens is pulling the Sean McDermott right now, where he's getting everything he can out of this group. With like two big injuries, one right as the season started and the other before the playoffs started.
Terry Rozier is the Jordan could you Poyer imagine, of the Celtics.
Could you imagine what would have happened if they had Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward?
You're starting five essentially would be Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford, with Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart coming off the bench. I think they could beat both Houston or Golden State in a seven-game series. That's why next year I'm almost looking forward to more than this year.
Yeah, it would have been scary to look at Boston like that and be like, okay.
You almost consider maybe Danny Ainge thinks about fleecing another team for one of those guards again, coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm. It's very plausible, too. But yeah, no, this is... Now, Louis, you mentioned the Sixers and LeBron James in that report, and you were someone who likes his Philly teams.
I trust the process.
And
the Sam Hinkie process, not the Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean process.
Well, that process
although
has...
Although I trust that, too, now.
Yeah, that process has... That's a process now, too. But yeah. Your process has moved on.
Is that a
it's not a process... It's not even a process anymore. You guys, you're in it.
No, it's
you're in
complete.
It.
Yeah. The process is complete.
The process is done, and now you guys are trying to fight. And what bigger way to fight than try to lure LeBron James in? You were one of those people, though, that at first, when that notion came up, you were a little resistant toward getting LeBron James because of the fact that you wanted it to be Embiid's team and Simmons' team. And if LeBron shows up, it's his team.
Right.
So what are you thinking now?
So... When during the whole 17-game winning streak, when the Sixers won 20 of 21 after they beat the Heat in the first round, the way they were playing off of Ben Simmons in that offense, and when Embiid came back, how they didn't skip a beat, how Marco Bellinelli was playing off the ball, and J.J. Redick, I'm still a believer in Markelle Fultz to be something in the NBA. I saw in those 14 games at the end of the regular season his ability to drive, make plays without a jump shot like Ben Simmons, and it's more of a mental thing for him. So I had belief Fultz is still going to be a star. So I want those young guys to... I want it to be their team, and you know the drama that comes with LeBron every single year. You know, it's going to be his team. And I was concerned that LeBron was going to want to be the point guard. You know, he was the one that was going to be ball dominant. Whereas to me, Ben Simmons, it has to be that way for Ben Simmons because his jump shot is non-existent. He does not have a jump shot. He's Magic Johnson in that way, early Magic, where, you know, he'll hit a fadeaway jumper every so often, but you've never seen Ben Simmons just pull up from the three-point line. I don't think he took a three this year. And even mid-range, you know, mellow range, he doesn't even shoot that. So... I was scared that it was going to hurt Ben Simmons' development, but now that I've thought about it more, I've read around, apparently there's a report from Chris Broussard that LeBron wants to play off the ball, you know, further down in his career, and maybe be more like he was in 2015 with Cleveland, where he's distributing more from the low post. And it's not like, I changed my mind on this, Derek, because it's not like Ben Simmons needs the ball all the time to create, he's not a point guard that eats up 20 seconds of the shot clock. He gets the ball out quick. He makes cuts, and I think him and LeBron could feed off each other. So,
the two of them making the passes that they do.
I think they can coincide. And LeBron's three. You know, he was shooting north of 42% from the majority of the season.
But here's where I think there'd be a stylistic problem.
Now.
LeBron, for all of his dominance, he's also a facilitator. And if Ben Simmons doesn't have a jump shot yet, what is LeBron doing passing it to him? You know, if he's got to get the guy open, it's not like you're going to be able to feed a slasher like that so well when you are also the slasher.
Right. No, I agree. It would have to be more.
Would need to have a better jump shot in order to thrive with LeBron.
You're not having Ben Simmons roll to the corner and pull up from, you know, after LeBron feeds you. What you're probably going to do more is a lot of pick and roll down in the low post, because LeBron likes to, when he's posting up, look for guys cutting in the inside and make bounce passes down low in the paint. Ben Simmons can do that. He can be a slasher with that point. But to me, you got to flip it around. I think it's got to be more LeBron as the pure scorer. And maybe LeBron, like this thing, LeBron might want to be a distributor and like to be a playmaker, but he's also a dominating scorer, and he might want to get back to that. He might only have to be doing what he's doing now because he doesn't have that pure point guard. He really hasn't had another distributor since Dwayne Wade, essentially. Because even when you think about Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving's kind of seen in the Westbrook category of point guards where he's more of a score first type. So to me, it's got to be the other way around. It's got to be Ben Simmons more feeding LeBron, moving around. And, you know, that doesn't mean once Ben Simmons, you know, kicks it out to LeBron, LeBron then can't drive and, you know, kick it out to Marco Bellinelli for three. I think there's enough passes to go around here where in Brett Brown's offense, the Simmons and LeBron together can be efficient. And, you know, stars are stars. Like, stars are going to win. It doesn't, everyone says, oh, maybe Westbrook's not the perfect fit with Kevin Durant. Yeah. And maybe he's not, but star power overrides mostly everything else in the NBA, and the Thunder still made four Western Conference Finals appearances and an NBA Finals with two stars. So even if LeBron and Simmons aren't the perfect fit, talent is talent, and that'll eventually turn into results.
Yeah.
That's very true.
That is very true. I think that that's a pretty interesting take in all of this. Now, again, this is a very interesting saga here. LeBron James and how teams plan around LeBron James. You know, they gather all these superstars to be able to face this guy.
The Raptors fired their coach of the year because of LeBron.
Because he got swept by not just the Cavaliers, he got swept by LeBron James.
Right, it was just LeBron. Okay.
Yeah. I still laugh at that SNL skit, The Other Cavaliers.
The Other Cavaliers.
That was fantastic.
That was funny.
I wish that wasn't cut for airtime.
Question for you guys.
What?
If LeBron leaves Cleveland this summer, what's his perception as a Cavalier? Like, what is the Cleveland fan base? How do they react?
I think they need to be thankful that he brought them the championship that they needed deserved.
Yeah. I hope they don't react emotionally, because when you put this in perspective, he's 33,
be emotional.
And you look at this team, they don't have a chance to compete for years.
It's going to be emotional,
no doubt.
And people are going to be upset by it.
I just hope there's no outrage.
But I don't think it's going to be as bad as when it was the first time.
I would hope not.
This time he brought a championship.
I think it's going to be that. It's also got to be how he leaves. Because remember, the reason a lot of people salted on LeBron James was not because he left, it's how he left with that obnoxious scene with The Decision and everything like that.
That ESPN special.
Yeah, that was the reason I think a lot of people jumped off of LeBron James' wagon. It wasn't because he left, it was how he left. That's my problem. And I know that Cleveland fans are going to be attached and they're going to be angry, and that's just how things happen. But as long as he doesn't make an obnoxious scene about it, and I think he learned his lesson, that it would hurt his branding more than help it, then, yeah, if he does it a little more silently this time, I think things are a little more forgiven.
I just hope the fan base kind of puts it in perspective, because it's different now. He's not in his 20s. You know, he's 33 years old. The Cavaliers are cap-stricken. They have no space, unless Dan Gilbert just keeps continuing to pay the luxury tax for Paul George. But that's a max contract. Dan Gilbert's never doing that, because the Cavaliers are already $36 million over the salary cap, and they have no talent. That's the thing, is George Hill's making $20 million. So I just hope the fans put it into perspective. This team's not ready to win unless they get lucky in the lottery and get the first overall pick. They have the eighth best odds right now. So unless they get that, they're not ready to win now. And he needs three stars with him, not just himself. Like, he needs...
Yeah,
The Cavaliers wouldn't just need Paul George. They would also need Kawhi Leonard, and they would also need someone else, probably, to compete with Golden State and Houston.
Thanks, Kevin Durant, for breaking the NBA.
I agree. And joined a 73-win team. I'm never going to get over that. But he just... I hope Cleveland fans put it in perspective that this is about legacy now for LeBron. He got you a championship. He came back.
He's gonna like he
now
might will his he and, might will this team to another NBA Finals,
right? And if he,
by himself,
if he gets you to a Finals after this performance, putting you on his back, averaging 40 minutes a game, to me, you should be understanding of him wanting to go make it easier on himself and try to chase MJ's, you know, MJ's ring count.
It's not.
I'm okay with that. And I hope Cleveland fans.
It's not even about making it easy.
It would also
be extending his career.
It's not even about
true.
That.
No, that's
it's
right.
About the fact that Kevin Durant broke the NBA.
He did.
And that's the stupidest thing about all
that's
this.
That's Cleveland should hate Durant, not LeBron.
Yeah, because...
because he wouldn't have... like, if Durant stayed,
well, if Durant,
he would have...
Durant went somewhere else.
Ready? If Durant went anywhere else...
like, say he went to Washington, like people thought.
Yeah, like, say he went anywhere else than Golden State, I think there's not a problem, because it's easier to get two superstars to tag with your core of your team than it is to get three, for example.
Because you could argue, without Durant, the LeBron's team now, I still think, could compete with that Warriors team, because they did. This Cavs team right now is also similar to that 2015 team when Kevin Love and Kyrie got hurt, and the Cavs took Steph, Draymond, and Klay to six games.
That's
the Cavs
true.
Were actually leading that series 2-1 when it was LeBron and Dellavedova, basically, was his number two guy, and Tristan Thompson, and Timofey Mozgov. So you should be mad at Kevin Durant if you're Cleveland fans, because Kevin Durant going to Golden State is forcing LeBron to have to join up again, like he did in Miami, to have any shot at a ring.
And that's the thing.
Because he has no shot. He has no shot this year.
He has no shot
Knock
this
on,
year.
I mean, that would... It would be the biggest upset, the most impressive performance in all of sports if LeBron won a finals this year.
People had a problem with LeBron and Chris Bosh going to Miami to join Dwayne Wade. Now, Golden State, their situation was that they homegrew
their
three
talent.
Stars.
Yeah, they homegrew their three
guys. They got their three guys drafted and developed and grown into
one,
stars.
By the way, was a second round pick.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, so, in the NBA, it does, after the first round, you don't normally find...
but generally, good for them for that.
Yeah.
However, the problem is that Kevin Durant, he was the one that took the easy way out.
He did.
I mean...
Thunder up 3-1 on that team.
They were.
And
they
you
were.
You can blame Durant, honestly, for that fourth quarter collapse in Game 6. So,
Again, whatever happens in that series is one thing. It's the fact that you decided that you needed to take that route. I need a burner account to start talking smack about Kevin Durant. But
the petty wars continue in the NBA.
Yes. But the thing is I think that Durant is the reason the NBA is more broken than it was before. Because big threes existed before LeBron James and the Miami Heat.
Big threes aren't even enough at this point.
Now, exactly. That's the strange part about it, is now that a big three is not enough. Like, the Houston Rockets had to go in. Get Chris Paul.
It's to the point now where contention is almost impossible for the majority of teams. So you have more than half the league just not tanking per se, just giving up. Just waiting it out. They have to wait it out for like a decade. Because before it was, okay, yeah, maybe we can't get LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh on our team, but we can compete with that if we draft well and we get a star player and two really good ones next to him, or one really good one and a solid supporting cast. Now, it's virtually impossible for a team like Phoenix. Hell, even a team like Denver with the Nuggets. They're too
New Orleans.
Young. New Orleans.
New Orleans had themselves.
Yeah, this Pelicans team now would compete for a championship in 2009.
Yes.
But it's virtually impossible now unless you're a big market that has three or four stars.
Yeah, you need an all-star team essentially in your starting five to have a chance to compete with Golden State. And that's the pathetic part about it. And, Louie, this is kind of why I'm a little turned off by the NBA, is because of this sort of dynamic. Because of this, I mean, yes, I get it. Stars draw the money. But at the same time, if you've got four of them on the same freaking team, what's the point if you're, for example, 27 other franchises?
I'm
26.
Because the last four that are here
are the last four that actually have a chance. They're the ones that have the realistic shot when the playoffs started. Why? LeBron James is one of the reasons that, you know, you can't ever doubt the Cavaliers. Boston has one of the deepest groups that there is, but when the season started, they were the favorite to make it to the NBA Finals. And then, of course, you had Golden State. Yawn. And then Houston showed that they could get the star power that they needed to keep up with Golden State, and you saw that throughout the season. And you're like, okay, maybe there's actually a chance we might get a different NBA Finals for once.
I see your point on this, and I was in your shoes last year, because last year no one could compete with Golden State, not Cleveland. Houston wasn't ready because they didn't have a second star to go with Harden. So I was with you on that point. Where I fall in line on this discussion is...
I'm still blaming Kevin Durant.
Right. I want justified parity, so I don't want... like last year, I didn't want the Gordon Hayward-led Utah Jazz to take on the Atlanta Hawks in the finals. No one wants that. You want the star power. The problem now is that star power is way too...
It's required.
It's
that way, kind it's, of star power is required.
It's not. It's only on a few teams. But so what we need now are more super teams, essentially, because there's no going back at this point. So now you have to keep building up more star power teams. So instead of having... It stinks. Not every team can compete anymore. The majority won't. But now, instead of having three teams that compete, we need eight. You know, we need nine teams that can really push. And I thought we took a nice step from last year to this year now, because teams like Oklahoma City...
That's why I was hoping Toronto was a thing there.
Teams like Oklahoma City, Boston, Minnesota even, you know, they took a step this year to push Golden State. And in Houston this year is a team that emerged that can push Golden State. So we're getting there, but yeah, still essentially on paper, there's probably four or five teams that could really win a championship now.
Like, even Jordan's Bulls had some resistance back in those days.
Oh, yeah, and they couldn't beat them until they all got old.
Yeah, like, for example, those you saw Pistons. Icons, though, that got snubbed because of the fact that the Bulls ended up with those sorts of guys was, you know, Reggie Miller with the Pacers. I mean, that was a special guy. Patrick Ewing with the Knicks. You know, those Knicks and the Bulls, the way that they fought over the years. And then you see Charles Barkley with the Suns, the Utah Jazz with Stockton Malone.
Right.
There were icons that battled it out, but they were all, like, none of them were dead to rights.
See, this is the thing, though.
In that era.
Yeah, I see that, but...
But now, like, you look at DeMar DeRozan, he's dead to rights.
Right.
And he's one of the top 20 players in the league.
But like I said earlier, the NBA's always been a dominance-based league. So even if you didn't have all of these, you know, a few super teams taking over, you still
need a star, obviously. But
like before, there was always, even though like now, like you say, like there's only a few teams that can compete. But even back in the day, it was all Lakers, Celtics, and then in the 90s, it was all Bulls and Rockets. So like, yeah, there were different teams that can compete with them. There were different teams, but the NBA, it's not like other sports where normally if you're a more talented team, odds are you're going to win. So that's why a lot of it's going to be dominance based, and some people like that, some people don't. I get where you fall on it, but I just think this is always going to be the way it is in the NBA. Maybe it'll be a little bit bigger, more wide open because of the super team era. It won't be as, you know, there won't be as many teams competing, but to me, basketball is always going to be that way.
I think the fact, though, that we've gone from essentially needing two superstars to four in your starting lineup, that's the problem I'm having.
I see that.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
In the end, the best team is going to win. The best team is going to win.
Normally. There's not a lot of upsets in NBA.
Normally, right, that's usually how it, yeah.
Let's put it down. What you got?
So, Cavs are going to take down Boston in seven.
I think so.
All right.
Warriors beat the Rockets in six.
And
Warriors beat the Cavs in five. LeBron will steal one in Cleveland.
I think.
So, we have the same outcome as last year.
I think the Cavs will beat Boston in six. And Warriors will beat Houston in seven, and then they'll sweep the Cavs.
Would not shock me in the slightest though, if Boston beats Cleveland. Just
it wouldn't shock
Brad
me.
Brad Stevens is LeBron too good is of a also, coach to not take this to six or seven.
There's a huge coaching mismatch in the East Finals between Ty Lue, who's not even a coach. He's a cheerleader, essentially.
And then coach of the year, Brad Stevens. LeBron James is willing this team along, and look, man. You know that thing where you roll the ball up the court to save time?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good at that. I think Cleveland, like, I'm with you guys. I think Cleveland takes care of the East again, and LeBron James, and everyone just goes, you got this team to the finals.
I'm just done doubting LeBron.
And, yeah, you really
and now the other thing is, Golden State is just too good, and it's boring me that they're this good. The fact that they were already in the finals with LeBron James over those 2 years before they got Kevin Durant, and it was fun and it was obnoxious and those were long series. Now that Kevin Durant's there, he makes it boring, and it's going to be the same thing this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's five games because, like you said, Louis, LeBron will probably steal one in Cleveland because.
Yeah,
LeBron.
I enjoy the West Finals though because it's going to be. Yeah, the finals will probably be boring, but that's. I consider the West Finals
will be the fun part.
I'm already enjoying the West Finals.
Segway strong.
Segway. Thanks for coming, buddy.
Thanks.
And there it is. I mean, I'm already enjoying the West Finals, Frank, as you hear the door behind as Louis leaves. There it is.
There's the
No.
West dude, Finals is fun.
Bro, Winnipeg is... This is why I changed my cup pick.
Yeah.
They're dangerous.
Yeah.
They are deadly. They are the best team left.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they eviscerated a team that you could never doubt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Hellebuck had to make, what, 19 saves? 17 saves?
Yes. He did, like, nothing.
Yeah, he faced 19 shots, 17 saves. That's ridiculous. And
what a game one performance last night.
The Jets are unreal. I thought that the minute that they, like, within the first minute, they scored the first goal of the West Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking
Dustin Byfuglien.
Mark Scheifele's
carrying. Rips the shot from the point.
Scheifele's carrying.
Flurry. Yeah.
Scheifele's carrying, just leaves it at the blue line, and Byfuglien's like, okay, I'm going to jump on this.
He's just going to hammer. Yeah, he's like, let me hammer this one.
And he and gets through in the clean. Net. And, dude.
Oh, man. That crowd, too.
From there. Well, that crowd got awfully silent between goals, too. Like, they were kind of just watching in, like, almost a panicked mess. A collective panic. Like, oh, boy, we got to get another goal here. Like,
well, yeah, because they know Vegas. But they know what Vegas can do.
They know what Vegas
as soon as Winnipeg went up 3-0, they were bonkers the whole night.
Yeah,
they were You hear the?
I gotta give credit to Vegas.
Did you hear the chant that they made on Fleury?
I didn't hear on Fleury. No,
they were yelling, "We want Subban."
Oh, that's right. After the fourth goal,
yeah,
they were like, "We want Subban." And if they scored a fifth goal, you're probably seeing Malcolm Subban.
Yeah,
and. Well, I mean, it does help that they just took down his brother in Winnipeg. So, but yeah, no, I think that Winnipeg is like, dude, if I'm a Caps fan, I'm taking a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm just saying, all right, cool. There's no chance. Like the Lightning, if they pick their game up, they have a chance. If Washington's there, they better have Backstrom, or else they have no chance.
Yeah,
like Holtby's got to do the Holtby thing still, and they need Nick Backstrom back healthy. Because if my pick of Washington versus Winnipeg comes to be, they need all hands on deck.
I'm still sticking with Tampa, Winnipeg.
The Jets are terrifying.
Yeah. As I said, I think whoever won Game 7 is going to go to the final.
Didn't you pick Nashville?
I did pick Nashville. But like, as I said, whoever wins Game 7, whoever I picked Nashville, you picked Winnipeg. Winnipeg won, so I think Winnipeg is going to beat Vegas in the final.
The minute
in the
that
conference
I saw,
final to go to the Stanley Cup.
The minute they eviscerated the Minnesota Wild, I knew it was over. Like it was like Winnipeg turned into my pick. In the first round, I had Nashville.
Yep,
because they were that team that was moving around, and I'm going to admit I had not seen enough of the Jets this year. Man. That team is terrible.
I tried to watch the Jets as much as I could. They are such
when
a fun
I saw
team.
That first round, I had to change my pick because Nashville was not going to survive. The fact that they made it a 7-game series.
Well, Nashville, Winnipeg are pretty similar.
They're
teams.
Similar teams, and it just shows the talent that the Predators had.
Yeah, but I think the difference was Winnipeg's depth is faster.
Yes.
And that's what's been taking them so far. They got the star power up front,
but
their
speed and
depth is so fast. They play such a fast. That's why I think this is gonna be a fun series between them and Vegas because both teams are extremely fast. They got the star, and they Winnipeg has the star power. Vegas has some of it, but I don't think they got enough.
All right, you know what we're gonna do for these podcasts now?
What?
Anytime I have a rant.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a pre-produced little thing, and there it is. All right, there it is.
There it is.
All right, there it is. Now, okay. Now I
What's
can go
rant?
On. Why the hell is Ryan Reeves playing for Vegas in this series? So dumb. So dumb. This is not a series to put your tough guy in. Do you see Chris Thorburn on the Jets right now? No.
That's also what crazy.
This is where hockey coaches and old boys club. Go ahead and boys club all over the place and just make things stupid. Reeves took a stupid penalty charging while down only by a score of 3-1.
Yeah.
You had you got the last goal. You were fighting. There it is. Don't take a penalty because Winnipeg's going to just chalk you up. That Patrick Laine power play goal. Oh, my God.
What a pass.
What a play. You see Laine read it. And I'm like. It's going to Laine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that the whole way. As soon as Laine started crept from the point,
you saw Stassi was looking at him from the point.
As soon as Laine started creeping to her side, I'm like, it's going to him.
Yeah. You saw Stastny looking at him, and my buddy.
And all of a sudden, you just see that passing lane is just wide open there, and it's like, bam, but right you, there, like, oh yeah.
But you notice
saw that.
Like my buddy even said, like he's looking up at Line A, he's like, get it back to him. And then you see he's holding on to it. And then you see Line A take off. I'm like, it's in the net.
Yeah,
that thing's in the net. Pass isn't even there yet. You know there's going to be a goal.
And then, bam,
ready?
Line A.
Yeah. Let's let that power play go back out on the ice. When you take a charging penalty, that means that you willingly skated as hard as you could to leave your feet and hit somebody in the upper body. Granted, he didn't make head contact.
Now, just remember,
kudos.
You are questioning the coach of the year.
Worked so well with Toronto in the NBA, did it?
Okay, stop.
I'm questioning for one reason. Why do hockey coaches, this is just a general thing, this is not Gerard Gallant, this is a general thing. Hockey coaches tend to muck it up any chance that they get a chance to muck it up. And this time, sir, you mucked up. Because Ryan Reeves cost you a chance to get back in this game. Ryan Reeves, to his credit, angered Dustin Byfuglien for a majority of this, from the first period. He was playing well. He was just pissing off Byfuglien and trying to draw penalties. Problem was, he wasn't drawing any penalties. He was playing hard.
He was taking penalties.
He put Blake Wheeler into the bench, and, you know, Vegas Knights had some fun with that. How do you not? But again, he wasn't making much of a hockey impact. He missed a pass to the slot. He missed another simple pass with stone hands. Dude.
Vegas was running, you know, what was working for them so far because Reeves was barely playing in the first round. He didn't really play.
And they swept.
But then in the second round, even though they lost a couple to San Jose, he was playing on that fourth line with Ryan Carpenter and I don't remember who else, but they were playing well.
Belmar's their fourth line center.
I think so too. Yeah, but that was their fourth line for a majority of that second round series, and it was playing really well. They were getting good forecheck in. They were playing fast. They were playing even though they're not fast.
Could you have
skaters,
imagined?
They were
you
playing
what
fast.
The hell would have happened if Vegas got Vander Kane instead of paying a first, second, and a third for a guy they healthy scratched in.
And Tatar.
And Thomas Tatar. Oh, my God. I would have loved A. I would have loved those picks. And B.
Oh, my God.
Evander Kane on that team would have been a just terrifying thing.
Yeah.
But this goes back to my point, though. Do you notice he didn't play much in that first series? And they kind of swept the team.
Yeah, but that was the Kings.
I know, but at the same time, that's the team that you put him in for. The rough and tumble Kings. And now you see a team with some skill. And Ryan Reeves is grossly outmatched. I think it's that kind of, I'm not blaming one man, obviously, for the failures of a team getting off to a poor start.
It's also just one the first game.
But I'm thinking this, Frank. It's this kind of thinking that puts you back in the NHL. This is why people don't watch this freaking sport. It's because of the fact that you know you're Vegas has speed.
Yep.
Up and down the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
However, next thing you know, you go ahead, and the first chance you get, you try to put tough guy hockey back into it. Here's tough guy hockey, and tough guy hockey puts you in a hole with a dumb penalty, with being unable to actually play hockey.
It's like I said, I think that what they were doing is they were continuing what was working for them as of that point. Do I agree with it? No, I don't want to see Ryan Reeves playing. I don't.
It just didn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I'm with you. But I think that's what they were going for. It was working for them, so they're going to continue it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, that time it was pretty damn broken. I hope they fix it.
And it wasn't broken so far, but it did in game one. Now, I would expect Gallant is going to scratch Reeves for game two.
Yeah, you can't go ahead and play
I would expect
like this.
It. I'm not going to question it now, like how you are. If Reeves does play in game two, then I'll question it.
Yeah, but again, I just saw the play, and I'm just thinking to myself, what the...
Like, it's not like Vegas swept the Kings and the Sharks, and Reeves hadn't played a single shift in both series, and then he just plays game one. It's not like it had he played. I believe he played most of the Sharks series. I don't remember if he played the Kings series. I noticed the
man that he took out in that lineup has 0 points in the playoffs so far. Will Carrier.
Yeah.
By the way,
former Sabre.
Thanks for not taking Linus.
Yeah.
On us,
thanks for
guys.
Taking that sixth round pick.
Thanks for purchasing. but I know that Carrier has some speed to him. He's a better fit for the series. I think they learned that the hard way.
Yeah. Think so. I think so too. And
but this is my problem. Old time hockey finds its way to rear its ugly head. It murdered the Edmonton Oilers. It should have murdered the Boston Bruins. But then they drafted, and then they got skill, and then they got pasta, and then they got.
Look what skill gets you.
Yeah, look what skill does for you instead of being the old boys club.
Okay, I am going to question Gallant. I'm still going to start questioning, and I'm more with you now because I'm looking at Reeves' game logs. That was only his second game of this playoffs.
See? Look, I
so
get...
So there you go.
I get
so
why... There you go. I understand why he ended up playing, though, because Carrier wasn't cutting it.
Yeah, so you had...
And he was the scratch.
So then there you go. You had to make some kind of
change.
But
why the hell didn't you try to throw Tatar in there? Or anyone?
How many games has Tatar played?
Is he injured? Am I missing something here?
He must be. I'm gonna
They gave up 3 picks for him.
Yeah.
That's
or he's just not or he's just not working.
It just makes me jealous that we're getting maybe a second round pick and a prospect for.
He's played 4 games in the playoffs.
Okay, so he's not hurt.
He hasn't played since. Which game was May 2nd?
That was last round.
I know. That was game 4 of the San Jose series.
Game 4 of the San Jose series.
He hasn't played since then. And he's got no points.
Yeah, no.
So
and
he hasn't done anything.
Neither is Carrier. And
so
I guess he's trying to
I guess you can understand it.
But now you're going to see that you learned the hard way that old boys club is not the way to go in this series.
You had to put somebody in, you just not Ryan Reeves.
But you look at this stuff though, this old boys club stuff. It murdered the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid can't just keep doing things by himself.
But that's more on the GM than the coach.
Oh, I know. But again, it's old boys club mentality.
I know.
This is what I'm angry about.
So is this what we're going to be talking about now?
This is what I'm angry about right
okay.
now.
Okay. No, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Tom
too.
Wilson gets suspended for 3 games. What happens? The Caps close the series. What a shock. I'm surprised. Oh, my God.
Yet he plays game one and they still win.
But did he have anything to do with putting points up? I don't think so.
I don't know.
And Cam Stevenson looked pretty good with that line. So did Devontae Smith-Pelly every now and then.
Yeah.
So did Jacob Rana. Rana won a game. He had a game-winning goal.
He did.
It's like he's playing with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex freaking Ovechkin. Huh. Neat. It's like you could plug a guy in. I never would have thought.
Yeah.
That's going to be what happens when you have Jack Eichel plus...
Casey Mittelstadt. Plus.
You could plug someone in on the wing.
Sam Reinhart. Plus.
You could plug someone in on the wing.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Evan Rodriguez.
Why do you think it's going to be awesome? Yeah. You can look at that. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Evan Rodriguez in the second half of that season. When Reinhart woke up and you put Rodriguez there and then Eichel got hurt, but that line was unreal.
That's why I'm not... That's...
But no. Let's put Jordan Nolan with him for a game. No, let's put Ryan Reeves in tonight. No, let's have Tom Wilson try to be an a-hole.
Okay, to be fair with the
let's sign Milan Lucic to $6 million per year for 7 freaking years.
That's just incompetence.
It's old boys club.
Which is incompetent.
Which is, you see how beautiful this game is now and how fast and skilled and speedy it is. Rasmus Dahlin is going to have no problem showing up in the NHL
because
it's a fast, skilled game.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't make sense? Trotting out freaking... I have a migraine now.
So to be fair, I don't see the Sabres going that route because They're not going to have guys like Jordan Olin.
I'm glad that old boys club thinking, though, costs someone a game. That's my thing. And I hope they learned their damn lesson.
I would expect potentially Carrier, maybe hopefully Tatar, because he should be playing all the time.
Yeah.
Back in the lineup for Vegas.
They might try to rotate, because those guys are not getting anything done.
They got to find a way to do something.
It's my big thing that Reeves cost them a chance to get back in it. He took a dumb penalty. There is a difference between a penalty you have to take and a dumb one. There was that
to be fair, the penalty he did take only resulted in the second goal.
But again, it's a penalty you shouldn't take. The hooking call on Blake Wheeler, they end up killing that penalty, but still, he had to take...
It's one that you shouldn't take. It is.
Like, even then, you have to move
but
your feet.
But I won't say that...
He saved a goal by putting the stick in Wheeler's midsection so that he couldn't get around Marc-Andre Fleury.
I thought...
When you have a charging penalty, that means you're being a meathead.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I don't think it cost Vegas the game, though.
It cost them a chance to get back.
Early. Because they did get back. It was only a 4-2 game.
No. It was the last goal.
That was the last goal?
The second Winnipeg power play goal. That was the one that happened. Because the first one was a slashing call from Alex Tuch.
That's right. Yeah.
The second penalty was the hook on Blake Wheeler.
I forgot about the slash. Yeah.
And then the third one was a charging penalty. That was their three power plays. The slashing, I mean, come on. That's kind of you got to be conscious.
Took a lot of penalties in that game.
Yes. But again, you can't let Winnipeg back out there with a charging penalty. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's on your conscience.
I made it 4-1.
See? You were 3-1. You were in this game again. It made it 4-1. And you have to scramble to get back into it. So, again, I'm glad that the meathead hockey mentality cost a team a game here. The old boys club cost a team a game. Because it's got to stop. This game is beautiful.
It's like I said, I think they were just going with what was working for them so far.
They were trying to find an answer. That's what we got down to was there's no points from Carrier. There's no points from Tatar. There's no points from Reeves. Let's be real here.
Yeah. They had to do something. It didn't work. I would expect probably Carrier or Tatar in the lineup.
Jay Beagle tries to play hockey. That's a fourth liner I want. You know? Like... Jay Beagle actually plays hockey.
Jay Beagle is good at faceoffs and.
But he's also he's scrappy, but he's not a meathead.
Yeah, he's not a meathead.
He's not a grinder.
He's a little grindy.
Let's say that he's a grinder. He's not a fighter.
Yeah,
you don't need to be putting a freaking fighter in the playoffs. Why? Because nobody fights. They avoid 5-minute majors like it's the plague.
Yeah.
Why? Because you don't want to be sitting out for 5 minutes for punching someone in the face and your team is missing you.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Ryan Reeves, the goal was to try to make someone punch him in the face. But, again, the only time that there's fighting in the playoffs is if you lost 6-1 and you're mad.
I would expect Game 2 is going to be really fun.
It should be. It better be.
It's going to be. I think so.
Dude. But again, at the end of the day, I'm not messing with the Jets.
No.
I'm not messing with the Jets.
It's as I said, I thought whoever comes out of the Nashville-Winnipeg series is going to the Stanley Cup final. It was Winnipeg. I think it's Winnipeg.
And I think it's Winnipeg there, and it's
they might
so
win
dangerous.
The Cup. They might win the Cup.
They're going to win the Cup.
They might break the Canada drought.
I'm saying it. They're winning it. They are winning this thing. Tampa, at their best, is going to have a chance. Washington needs to have all hands on deck.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas needs to keep up.
Mm-hmm. Vegas can keep up. They gotta find a way to match the star power.
But the problem is, for the first time this year, we saw Vegas blatantly outmatched.
Yeah.
We saw them just gunned.
Yeah.
For the first time this year.
Now we'll see if they can answer. We'll see if they can answer the bell. Let's see if they can do it.
And by the way, Nashville-Winnipeg would have been a West Final.
That should have been a West Final. When Louis was talking about the NBA and having no conferences for the playoff format, I just want the NHL to go back to the old format. Division winners are the top seeds. And then the rest.
And you
would
have got Vegas, Winnipeg last round.
Yeah. Because I'm gonna go to the standings.
Well, you can break it down.
I'm gonna search it by conference. Oh no, I'm gonna tell you what the playoff seedings would have been. What the matchups would have been had it been the old format.
Well, Nashville, Colorado still would have happened.
Yes, Nashville, Colorado would have happened. Vegas, LA would have still happened.
And then everything else rolls on.
It would have then been Winnipeg, San Jose.
Yeah.
And Minnesota, Anaheim.
By Sharks.
Yeah.
And I think the Ducks probably would have been quacked by the Wild as well.
Yeah. So you probably would have seen still Nashville. You would have seen Winnipeg, Vegas as your second round series, and probably Nashville, Anaheim as a second round series.
Or Minnesota. And you would have still seen.
And Nashville, Winnipeg, lower likely, would have been the conference final.
Yeah, because Minnesota was too banged up.
Yeah.
Anaheim was way too banged up.
Now, if you go to the East, you still have Tampa, Jersey.
Yep.
You still have Washington, Columbus.
Yep.
You have Boston, Philly.
Ooh.
As a first round matchup, and then Toronto, Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. That's the 4-5.
That would have been the 4-5.
And
the Leafs might have won that.
The Leafs have home ice.
The Leafs might have won that.
They probably could win that.
But Philly.
So imagine the second round.
Boston would have rolled Philly.
So imagine the second round would have been Tampa, Toronto, and Washington, Boston.
Yep. Then you'd be seeing Tampa, Boston probably as your finals.
As your East final. Yeah.
So yeah, we had two series where the conference finals were played already, I think.
I thought so.
But Washington slaying the Demon.
Yeah.
They looked good. They looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that
I remember Washington was third in the East overall.
Yes. My big thing is this. Lars Eller has stepped up.
He has.
With that Nick Backstrom injury.
Yeah.
I thought that was huge. Like, the minute that they ended up beating Pittsburgh, I'm thinking to myself, how are they going to keep up with Tampa without Nick Backstrom? I don't know. And that was before the game that night, and I'm just thinking to myself, what are they going to do? They're screwed. They might have to. Like, I'm thinking, you got to deal with Pittsburgh with Game 7 because you're not going to have Nick Backstrom in. Lars Eller stepped up in a huge way.
Yep.
He is still stepping up in a huge way for that team. Braden Holtby, oh my God. Frank, why? We said this in the first round preview, and I said, why the hell is Braden Holtby not in net?
Mm-hmm.
They're a so much different team. They're so much better with Braden Holtby. Because, oh hey, the guy was a Vezina candidate year in and year out, save for this year. The man's an elite goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that they might be moving on from him.
They're not going to. Not anymore.
Not after this.
No.
No way. Braden Holtby is the difference for that team right now.
Yeah.
And they shut down in game one. They suffocated Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And if they can keep playing like that, you know who's strange? Like, every time I watch a Capitals playoff game, there are two names that I always see, other than Ovechkin, that make me scratch my head. They also happen to be Russians. Kuznetsov.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes makes like too fancy of a play, and I'm like, dude, come on. What are you doing? The other one's Dmitry Orlov. Orlov, there are games where he looks amazing, like he did in game one against Tampa.
Yeah.
But then there's times where he looks like a disaster, mostly against Pittsburgh, and you think, dude, what are you doing?
I read that a lot when sometimes Dmitry I check Orlov. Out a lot of I check out a lot of cap stuff, you know, like on Twitter and everything. And Cavs fans are just that way. They think there's times where Orlov looks like one of the best defensemen on the team, and then there are times where he looks like he shouldn't even be out there.
Yeah,
where he should be scratching every night.
It's a maddening consistency problem with him. But
he
was dominant, especially with the puck.
Yeah.
In game one, the ways he made Kucherov and Stamkos spin around in their own zone trying to defend him. And then the next thing you know, he's got a pass to the off wing, and it leads to the goal from Beagle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was Stamkos he turned around. That's not just some guy.
Yeah.
So, no, I think Washington getting that game one win was huge. Now, what
steal
does that
one
mean?
On the road.
You steal one on the road, but what does that mean when six of the last seven that have won game one in the Eastern Conference Finals have lost the series? That means that this game, it's going to be fun to see what happens.
Tampa came out flat. against Boston in game one, and they responded nicely in game two, and then the next three games as well.
But now Tampa Bay, though, you look at that team and how deep they are.
Yeah.
There is a consistency issue because with how what that roster looks like, they're so up and down. Like, that Boston series should not have been five games.
No.
There were games where Boston should have won. And Tampa just happened to get some nice goals out of it. I'm not sure Tampa's going to be able to hold
on. I don't know if that can happen now.
They can't get away with this.
And if they beat Washington in the final.
Yeah.
There's no way that can happen.
They gotta
whatever is hindering them, they got to fix it now.
Yeah, it's got to be. And it's going to be fun. I mean,
Real quick. The Armia goal last night.
Right.
Did you think, was that goal? What did you
think
of that call? What did you think?
I think they made the right call.
Okay. I wasn't sure. You know, it looks so weird because he goes right through the crease. I agree that it's not.
My issue is this. Fleury went after the puck and then was run into.
Okay. Yeah.
He made his move first.
Yeah.
If he tried to react based on that, he might have got away with it. But Fleury moved first.
Okay.
That's why I think it was the right call.
Okay.
Fleury moved first.
You know what? Thinking of that, I agree.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
You see him try to move his stick to deflect that puck and he misses.
Yeah. Because looking at the replays and everything, and then they're talking, now they're looking at goalie interference. I'm like, they may call that back. I'm not sure.
I was thinking they were calling it back from a kick. Because it looks
that was what they were originally doing. I never thought it was kicked in. Never thought it before. So I thought, at the time, okay, that's going to be a good goal, kicked in, everything. And then it's like, now we're looking up for goalie interference. I'm like, goalie interference? I'm like, okay, maybe I see it.
And then the
I don't
challenge.
Know.
What a good challenge, by the way, by Paul Maurice.
What a great challenge.
Because
they call goalie interference, and he challenged it that it wasn't.
Yeah. But again, it was about what was going on.
Yep.
Not the fact that the call was there, but even if it was goalie interference, even if I thought it was goalie interference, it's a smart challenge because what are you risking here? You're up 2-0. What are you going to do? Lose a timeout?
Yeah, you're already up 2-0.
You're up 2-0, and if you put it to 3-0, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even need that timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was worth the risk of not having that timeout.
You're pretty much in a timeout already.
Yeah. No, that was the right idea, though, was to challenge that because what happens? You're still up 2-0.
Yeah.
Neat. So, no, Winnipeg, a complete game one. And Washington, a complete game one.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see the tables even out a little bit so I get to watch more hockey. Let's get some game sixes and game sevens in here, people. Because I want to maximize my hockey watching until I can't watch it no more. Okay? That's all I got. And I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
I think that's all I've got today for the Leftovers Podcast. Feel excited and soft today, Frank? You never do it. Go do it.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
I'm Derek Kramer.
You've been listening to the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com, our on-demand section. Check out everything else that WGR550 On Demand has. Howard and Jeremy, Instigators, One Bills Live, Chauvin Bulldog, Nightcap with Ryan,
Sports Talk Saturdays,
Sports Talk Sunday.
We'll get some Josh Allen talk next time.
Definitely have to. OTA is going on.
We've been heavy on the hockey. We threw some NBA in today with a nice change of pace. But, you know, like I say, I love my playoff hockey.
We love playoff hockey.
I love my playoff hockey, man.
Definitely talk some Bills
it's bae.
Next time.
Playoff hockey is bae.
Yeah.
Yes, I said that, and I'm going to slap myself now for it.
I'll do it for you.
Nope, that was your hand. That was me slapping myself in the face.
We're done.
Better way to end it.
We're done.
Later.